One step into the light, one step away from night. It's the hardest step you're gonna take. The ship to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up through your opened mind.
And welcome back. This is Raylan Allen. I'm the publisher of RumorMillNews.com and have been since 1996. And if you haven't been over to TalkStreamLive.com, get on over there. The page is so different that I thought I'd pulled up the wrong page. So anyway, here we are back on Radio RMN. Our special guest is David Sale. And what he is explaining, what we are taking the time to explain, if we can ever get enough people educated as to what this thing really is, it will change the world, and it will change the world for the better. And, David, we were talking about Ferdinand Marcos, and as I said, my sources, including Gunter, have always said he was the good guy. And you had just said reluctant, and I'm going to let you start right there with that word.
Okay. Well, let me first explain, Ray. I'll come to the word reluctant or reluctance in a few moments.
Sure.
But Marcos was, at the time, one of the most powerful men in this world. And had he wanted to, he could have been the dictator of the whole world. It's as simple as that. But he didn't want that. All Marcos was or wanted to do was to allow the world to benefit from the assets that he held in the Philippines under his custodianship. Now, when he arranged this global agreement, initially the countries which supported him signed it with no problem. Ultimately, as they were going around from country to country to country to country and having various conventions, a lot of the let's say the more wealthier and powerful countries of the West signed, but they signed with reluctance. Now, why should they sign with reluctance? Well, it actually meant, you look at the global agreement, that every country in this world would have been financially independent from any other country. It would have had no political influence from outside of its borders. It would have controlled its own economy. It would have controlled its own destiny. There would have been no reason whatsoever for a government of that country or a monarch of that country or president to actually borrow money from the commercial markets at the time. Now, that would have made an awful big difference to the world as we know it today. We wouldn't have the problems we're having today. And this is why Marcos included the words reluctant and reluctance, because many of these countries in the West signed with reluctance, but they signed to make it appear that they were quite happy with everything and that's how it should go ahead. And in actual fact, it didn't go ahead, as we all know. And 6 years later, 1980, was the date of the agreement. And 6 years later, Marcos was ousted in a very, very unceremonious way, promoted by CIA. It's as simple as that. They generated the fervor inside the Philippines, and the people with people power revolted against Marcos, and he was out. And it was all very, very strange when Aquino was suddenly pushed into the forefront as the let's say the contestant in the presidential elections. And then he was assassinated because Aquino was himself a CIA asset.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I heard he actually killed himself because he had cancer and was not expected to live.
Ah, well, that's information to me. I don't know. I honestly don't know, Ray, okay? All I know is what we actually read in the press and on the television, that he was assassinated. Now, whether he was, whether he wasn't, I don't think the truth will ever be known, very much like a lot of other national leaders who have disappeared, okay, over the time. But let me just say one thing to all the listeners, and they will probably be shocked, and if they're sensible people, they'll probably fall off the chairs when they hear this. But Ferdinand Marcus is still alive. It was his double who died in Hawaii.
Yeah. I think many of us felt that way.
Okay. Yeah. He's in a compound southwest of Beijing in China. In that compound are some very old men. They are what is commonly referred to as the elders of China. One of them is claimed to be over 150 years of age, and Marcus is there with them.
I have always heard
and,
from my sources...
Marcus is real. Please carry on.
My sources say that Marcus is Chinese and that he is part of the royal family. Is that true?
He's part of the Maozitung family, yes. Yes, not the royal family, the Maozitung family.
What's the you're not talking about Maozitung in the Little Red Book, are you?
Yeah. Yes.
Well,
yes. Marcus is a descendant of the Maozitung family, which in actual fact is a descendancy from one of the royal families.
So that explains when Gunther told me that the royal families are still running China.
Yeah, absolutely. They are still running China. All right.
Wow.
It's hard for people to understand and believe how all this works, okay? But even in Europe, the royal families still have an awful lot of power.
I can see that.
They may not be seen to be involved in the day-to-day political factors, but they still have an awful lot of power. Okay?
Well, you know, when I just want to give an example. Austria has no emperor, no titles, no nothing. But everywhere where Gunther went, in the western part in Salzburg, he was greeted as Mein Baron. In the eastern part where the Esterhazys were, it was, Erzherzog, Archduke. And so, the people know who who the royal families are. I was so amazed when I went over there and people were actually bowing and kissing Gunther's hand. It was just, I still can't believe that it actually happened. But you're right. The people know who the royals are, and the royals do have, I'm talking about the hidden royals that nobody's ever heard of, but they have a very major part in all of their countries. Anyway, we were talking about Marcus and the place in China where he lives.
Yeah. Well, that's deviating from the subject of the global agreement and anyhow. But, yes, he's still alive, and so is Sukarno. And Sukarno's in Taiwan, south of Taipei.
Okay.
So they know exactly what's going on. But
and
this,
I just want to ask about... Sukarno, was he Chinese also?
I honestly don't know the hereditary factors of Sukarno, but as you know, there are a lot of Chinese in Indonesia, and Sukarno himself had a Chinese-looking characteristic, slight, but not severe, but he had that characteristic. So it's quite possible, but I wouldn't like to say yay or nay on that subject. Because I've never gone into depth on the Sukarno factor, because Sukarno and Marcus worked closely together, but Marcus was the key figure, and that's where our focus has been, on Marcus, not so much on Sukarno. Okay. But this global agreement, what it would have done had it been implemented, is actually reduced the power of the Western countries, and I'm talking England or United Kingdom, City of London, France, America, even Spain to a point, but also Switzerland, reduced their power so much that they would not have been able to dictate like they are dictating to the world today. It's as simple as that. Every country would have been independent completely, financially independent, and not reliant upon the West in any way.
It doesn't make sense to me unless it was a covert CIA operation that turned every one of the world leaders against Marcos. And so what did the CIA do? Go out and give them, you know, $1 billion apiece in their own personal bank account?
Well, again, I wouldn't like to say yay or nay on that factor, but knowing how they operate, yes, there would have been money passed. Presidents and prime ministers would have been bought off. It's as simple as that. That's how they work. That's how they've always worked. And that's how they will continue to work. Okay? And it's just a question of money.
Exactly. Okay? And if I'm not mistaken, there were over 700 of these signatories that were working with Marcos. Am I correct on that?
That's right. 746 in total. And okay, you'd be amazed at who some of the signatories are. But they're all the top people. Royal families, presidents, prime ministers.
I would love to see
ministers.
Them. So,
okay.
So,
well, you will see them shortly.
I get angry because those are the people that have put humanity through the suffering and the horror that we have been through in the last 20 years.
Absolutely. Well, 30 years, yes. I agree, yes. Yeah. And a lot of them still want to see that agreement actually implemented. But unfortunately now, with the changes since that agreement was drawn up, it's not possible to implement it in the way it was structured in the first place. But you will see the agreement shortly, Ray. We're still in the process of verifying every single signatory, all 746 of them. We're still doing that at this moment in time. It's taking us longer than anticipated.
I can believe it.
Mainly because you've got to get through to the right departments in government, and then you've got to wait for their response. Well, they're not very quick in responding, and the question usually comes back, why do you wish to know?
That's
all right.
Right.
And we're not explaining that to them. That's none of their business. Mm-hmm. That's for us to know and for them to find out as such. So it does take time. So as soon as all those 746 signatures are verified as being genuine, then that global agreement will be posted. Now, what we've actually done, all the account numbers printed or listed on that global agreement have been blacked out completely. It's wrong for us to show those account numbers. Anybody, and it's happening right now, people are still purporting to represent the OITC. They could go to a central bank and they could say, oh, account number so-and-so, so-and-so. There's my documents. We now want to use that account. And this is why I suspended all those appointments on the 22nd of December last year to prevent anything like this ever happening. So that any certificates, any ID cards, etc., which had been issued, became effectively suspended, null and void at that date. So that nobody could walk into any central bank representing the OITC and trying to claim that account with all that money in. And it's billions and billions and billions of dollars. So you can see the process there.
Yes, and I do see that you are being attacked by a couple of different people. One of the readers emailed me about this latest attack that was on Rumor Mill, and I love what she said. She said if he presented more facts, and she's talking about Neil Keenan, I think, Maybe it was Scott. Yeah. I don't remember which one. She said if he presented more facts and less, name calling, if he didn't sound like a little boy in a schoolyard, maybe people would take him more seriously. But he doesn't seem to have the facts. He just hurls. It's like hurling a plate of spaghetti at a white wall. After the spaghetti all falls away, you're still left with that red stain, and that's what you and David Crayford have had to contend with, not just now, but their shenanigans go back all the way to Fiji. How many years ago was that they literally defrauded Fiji?
That's so, right. That's 2007, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Right. So this has been going on for a long time.
We're not worried about people like Keenan or AC/DC or any of those. We know they're talking through the hat, and your reader who sent the email is absolutely correct. They never present any verifiable evidence. It's as simple as that.
Why are they doing this? They have to be doing it for a reason. I mean, is George Bush their boss?
If you look at the people connected to Keenan, yes, George Bush would be their boss. Simple as that. Okay? In our opinion, Ray, it's a situation when they, let's say, removed Ray Dam, Dr. Dam, and that he became incapacitated. They believed that it was going to be an easy trip down the road to take over the accounts. Unfortunately, they didn't anticipate the quick reaction of the hierarchy to appoint me as caretaker chairman until the Ray Dam situation had sorted itself out. And I will admit, I'm probably a lot more stronger and formidable than Ray Dam. And I will fight these people. They can say, they do what they like, they can say what they like, they can call me all the names under the sun. One thing I always remember in my life is something my father said many, many, many times, and it's an old English saying, sticks and stones break my bones, but names can never hurt. And it's so applicable when you're telling the truth. Names cannot hurt you. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Right. And we're not bothered about these people at all. In fact, we're damn sick of their patheticness. And you're absolutely correct what you say. It's childish, it's amateurish, it's playground tactics that you would see in a little junior school with little gangs of boys in different corners of the playground. Let him go on with it. To me, he's just showing his total ignorance, arrogance, lack of intellectual means, etc., etc. And if they come up with factual, verifiable evidence, then I will start responding, or David Crayford will start responding to what they are saying. But until then, we have no intention of responding to anything they say, okay, because it's mere supposition, speculation, arrogance, aggression, and vicious personal attacks. And it's just not worth responding.
Yeah, I agree. Believe
me,
I put up with so much of that every single day through my email. You cannot believe it.
Oh, I can. You'd be surprised. But yes, people don't realize, Ray, that people like you and I, and even David Crayford and some of the other people we have, they really do get threatening emails very, very regular. Now, whether the emails are from cranks or whether they're from serious-minded people who intend to be vicious in one way or the other, nobody really knows. But, yes, you receive them, telephone calls, emails, all sorts of things. And that is our life, and it's your life as well. You're in the public eye probably a little bit more than us. And yes, they're going to attack you if things on Rumour Mill News or on the radio are actually aimed against them. as individuals or as part of an organization, maybe a crooked part of an organization, but they will attack, and they attack with all these pathetic little threats.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I told you that the last time you were on, I got this whole batch of emails. One was quite nasty emails. One was quite threatening, and so I put them all in my email folder, and I was going to send that last one to you. And when I came and looked back again, not only was the email missing, the entire email folder with all of my hate emails were missing. I was going to send you the headers and let you check them out with Interpol.
Yeah, which we would have done for you and anyhow, okay, because this is what we do. So we get all the headers, you see, we just check it all out. We get our intel people to do all of this for us.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what we can come up with. You see, this guy, yeah. I believe it's ACDC, mm-hmm. is actually in Israel. Okay, he's on the border between Israel and Jordan. All right, and he is an IT guy, and he's transmitting his emails direct from a server.
Hmm.
All right.
Well,
so,
that's what I figured. I always love to know where the people who are emailing me these hate messages, where they live or where their servers are. So I, you know, just to let me know, are they around the block or are they on the other side of the world or are they in Langley?
Yeah.
And.
You can start getting a good picture once you find out where they are, Ray.
Yeah.
You know, if they come from some isolated village or small town somewhere in the country, usually they're just vicious people. But if they mm-hmm. come from places like Israel, or maybe Washington,
right.
maybe in the city of London, okay, you know darn well there's a bit more seriousness to it. Okay,
yes.
So then you start investigating a lot deeper, a lot deeper. But anyhow, let's come back to this global agreement. As I was saying, had the global agreement been implemented, the power of the Western nations would have been drastically reduced. And we would not, I do repeat this, we would not be in this financial catastrophe and economic catastrophe that we are currently in, which is affecting everybody around the world. And it doesn't matter whether they're rich or poor, whether they're in Bangladesh or whether they're in America or the UK, it's affecting everybody. And what's actually happened, Ray, many listeners will recall that Rayford did actually refer to two more recent agreements dated June the 10th, last year, 2010. One was relative to assets deposited in the Philippines, which was signed by the fake Anthony Martin, or King David as he's known as a code name. Now, just reiterating on that, Anthony Martin actually died in 1993. The fake Anthony Martin arose in 1998. Unfortunately, he doesn't live too many kilometers from some very, very good family friends of mine in the Philippines who know him, who know people in the village he comes from. They all know what he's like. He is a fake. It's as simple as that. The other one is relative to the assets in Indonesia. They're two very, very similar agreements signed by the very, very same 10 international organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all to do with the assets, which effectively allocates those assets mainly to the commercial banks in the world. A few central banks, yes. Bigger central banks, but mainly to commercial banks in the world. Now, those two agreements are totally and utterly illegal, mainly because the 10 organizations that signed those agreements had no power or authority whatsoever to sign in any way related to the assets of collateral accounts. And certainly this Anthony Martin has no power. Okay, so those two agreements are totally void, unenforceable, illegal, etc., etc. But that is what people like the IMF, the World Bank, and even the United Nations are using. But if you look at the signatories, when they include the International Court of Justice and the International Criminal Court, then you really have to start asking the question, hang on a minute, who's in bed with who here?
Because
you have the Federal Reserve, you have the US Treasury, you have the International Court of Justice, the International Criminal Court, the World Bank, the IMF, the United Nations, okay, and that's the seven major ones. You've got three more on top of that.
And in my opinion, all of those people are controlled out of the...
They're all in this together.
Yeah, and they're controlled out of the City of London. And I don't know who controls them. Do you know who controls them? You know, we say the New World Order, but who is it really?
Well, I really don't know, Ray.
I don't think anyone does.
Organizations behind the scene. They will not ever, ever expose themselves. Now, it could be a few presidents. It could be a few royal families. It could be the Committee of 300. It could be anybody, Ray. It could be the Bilderberg. It could be the Carlyle Group, the Carnegie Organization. Any of those, they're all effectively secret amongst themselves, but they will never ever expose themselves, so nobody ever knows who is really behind all of this. Okay? Who's
and so
the strings of the puppets, the head of the IMF, etc.
And so, puppets, we're saying Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Bushes, all of these people are puppets. Is that correct?
Well, I think Rothschilds, Rockefellers, George Bush are a little bit more than puppets. I think they have some hand in pulling the strings of the puppets.
Okay,
the puppets, I think, are the head of the IMF, certainly the head of the United Nations, and probably the head of some of the UN organizations, the head of the World Bank, the head of the development banks around the world, which is mainly Asian Development Bank, the African Development Bank, etc., etc. And certainly, you know, along with George Bush and Rothschilds are possibly members of the Carnegie Organization, the Carlyle Group, Blackwater, and various other organizations, as I said, the Committee of 300 and some of the Royal Family members.
Right.
They're all in there.
Speaking of Royal Family members, I've often said that Queen Elizabeth is practically a puppet also. And I don't know whether I'm right on that, but I've just heard recently that Marcos gave something to her. Do you know what I'm talking about? Can you talk about that?
Yes. I can do, and it will be published shortly, Ray. It's the last will and testament of Ferdinand Marcos. It was signed by Marcos... people assume when he was in Hawaii, but it was actually signed inside Buckingham Palace, and the Alpha Omega ring, which is a very, very ancient ring, and its importance is such that it's equal to the spear, which is the rod. I'm lost for words at the moment, Ray. I'm so tired today.
You're not talking about the scepter, are you?
The scepter, the rod, and the Holy Grail. Okay.
Okay.
It's as equally as important as all of those. It has a very, very big significance in the top echelons of the world. And it is the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth II, who is actually now the holder of the Alpha Omega ring, passed to her, okay, in Buckingham Palace by Ferdinand Marcus, when he signed his will in front of her.
Oh, my okay. God. So what power does this give to her?
It basically gives her the same power as Marcus had when he was in power in the Philippines. As a holder, she is a major participant and a major part of the hierarchy. She doesn't actually sit on the committee. Her representative sits on the committee. But her influence over everything is quite substantial. Quite substantial.
And so am I correct? You know how people are saying that she's the lizard, reptilian, shape-shifting monster that is controlling the world. Am I correct that for most of her life, she's been controlled? And you can answer that when we get back on the other side of the break. You're listening to Radio RMN. We're brought to you over the Micro Effect Radio Broadcast System. And if you would go over to TalkStream Live and give a vote for us, we are number 3, David. And that is just absolutely incredible for this particular time. And so we will be right back here with David Sale on Radio RMN.
We hope you enjoyed this free excerpt from today's program. Register to become a sponsoring member so you can hear the complete interview for any of the radio shows in our library. Just click the sidebar link and select your membership level. It's that easy.